Blog Talk Radio.
Next question.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Let's call it a night. The party's over. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. What a crazy, crazy party. Never seen so many people.
Okay.
Laughing, dancing. Look at you. You're having fun. But look at me, I'm almost crying. But that don't keep her love from dying. Misery calls for me, the party's over. Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Let's call it a night.
Way to go. There we go. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, the eulogy show, the one we've become quite accustomed to. Good evening, Edward. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I forgot that we had that Willie Nelson song. And then I was reminded we play it every year since we've been on the air.
Yeah. Tradition.
It's tradition.
It's an unfortunate tradition. But a tradition nonetheless.
Well, we're all about tradition here at Blue Shirt Underground Radio. I'm doing pretty good. Now that the pressure of the playoffs is behind me, I can relax.
No, there's one more part of the tradition. Wait, one more thing we have to play here.
Of my friend, I can only say this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, this was the most human.
In misery, there is laughter.
Oh, God. Well, I don't even know where to begin. Whether you want to start the summation. The reclamation. Where are we going to start as far as how the playoffs unfolded? What went wrong? Who went wrong? What went right, if anything? And what the future will bring? It is a tough, tough thing to figure out. THW Live is here.
Yay! I don't even know who that is.
I don't know, but he's asking. He's in the black font, so I love anybody in a black font. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, Jim, where are you on this? I mean, I saw a lot of things, a lot of ridiculous things being said by Ranger fans that I just thought didn't address any issue. I mean, even people who have tuned into the show regularly, I think, have gone off the deep end with trying to figure out what went wrong with the Rangers. Well, I think it's pretty obvious, at least to me, what went wrong with the Rangers.
Well,
so,
you know,
I don't know.
Think, I would just like to say that I think it's a good idea because I think in years past where endings have, well, there's been some bad endings, but I think in years past, as soon as the season ended, we were on the air either same day or maybe the next day. And I think it's good, at least for you and I don't know about the rest of them, that we had a 3-day or a 2-day, 3 days, right? Saturday it ended. So we've had a 3-day cooling off period. Because,
yeah,
I mean,
you don't want to get too reactive.
Right. And I think that, and I think Ranger fans, some, like you said, in our group, regular listeners, regular contributors, are off the fucking rails. I mean, they want Callahan traded. They want this guy traded. This guy traded. Tortorella defenders. I don't know. I can understand. I can almost understand. Well, I understand what some of the Tortorella defenders are saying. I understand it. I just don't agree with it. as far as Callahan, people that want Callahan traded, I don't understand it. I don't agree with it. And if I lived anywhere near you, I'd have you committed.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all.
Yeah. I mean, that was just so ridiculous. And I know everybody says, well, I have the right to express my opinion. No.
Absolutely.
Sorry. You do have the right to express it, but don't – when there's an avalanche of criticism towards your point, you know, you got to expect it when you say something that's stupid.
Right.
I mean, you know, listen, I could say, hey, listen, why don't we play without a goalie the whole season? We'll have an extra man.
Just do the Roger Nielsen thing and leave the stick in the crease.
Right. And it's a stupid – I have the right to express my opinion, but – I hope people call me up and say, listen, or whatever, leave a message. You're retarded. I deserve it. I don't even want to get into the Callahan thing because that just didn't make any sense. I mean, we haven't had a decent captain since Messier. And we finally get a good captain. A guy is all balls to the wall and we want to trade him. What are we going to get for him anyway? I don't even want to go into this. This is ridiculous. Because I'm even thinking about this.
Right. And you know, we've talked about it before. That, you know, with the advent of the internet and Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and whatever the fuck else is out there, there's a lot of different ways for people to vent their opinions. But what some people don't realize is that when you put your opinion on the internet, you have to be ready to accept that some people might not agree with you, or everybody might not agree with you.
Agree with you. Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I think you're in agreement with me because we've talked about this before. But you know, as two guys who you know kind of grew up with the Rangers through the '80s and '90s, okay, and came into our formative Ranger fan years, we haven't had a guy like Ryan Callahan on this team since Adam Graves.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, but I was much more of an Adam Graves fan than I was a Mark Messier fan because. To me, Mark Messier he chased the money when it was all said and done. Adam Graves was a Ranger and is still a Ranger. Ryan Callahan is the closest thing we've had to that. And maybe 25 years, and we'd be sitting here saying, God, we'll be in our 70s doing this show, and we'll be saying, Joe Slobotnik is the closest thing we've had to a Ryan Callahan in 25 years. You got to learn the appreciation for guys that play hockey like Ryan Callahan. Now he's not, he's not an offensive wizard. He's not a defensive wizard. He's not a guy that.
Well,
you know,
he is.
He does everything well. He's not great at anything, but does everything very, very well. And we're not trading Ryan Callahan.
Yeah, that's first off the list. Exactly. You're a moron. I'm sorry. You might be a friend of mine, a radio friend of mine, but you're a moron if you try to trade that guy. All right. Now that we got the lunacy out of the way, let's go to the reverse lunacy.
All right.
I want to know why would somebody want to keep John Tortorella? Are we just basically hanging this on that he got us to the conference finals 2 years ago, and that he won a Stanley Cup. Is that the only reason? Because I don't see any advantage that we ever gain with this guy as coach. He goes up against a coach with a clue. He gets completely eviscerated.
This guy's got to go. Well, let me work the other side here for a second. Let me ask you a question, okay? After 2006, okay, Giants had a they didn't have a good season, and they basically called Tom Coughlin. He was called into the GM's office, and he had to sit down in front of the GM and the owner and explain what he was going to do differently because what he was doing wasn't working. Could you see the I'm asking just honest question, just throwing it out there. Could you see the Rangers doing something like that with John Tortorella?
No.
You don't think they would say to him, look, this method, this philosophy, this methodology is archaic. This way you're stunting the growth of our younger players. This has to change. No?
I don't think so. I think the GM is so disengaged from reality. they're not that tight. You're talking about the Giants organization compared to the Rangers organization. I mean, it's night and day. There's no efficiency up at the in MSG. There's nothing going on. I mean, I think that would be a great thing if they would do that. But can you you think Mr. Stubman over there is going to change it? The way he deals with people and the way he this defensive style that just is just going nowhere. It's not hockey. It's not, you know, we were talking about it last night. You watch the Chicago-Detroit game, and it's a totally different animal. It's like you're watching hockey again.
An absolutely wonderful hockey game. What an enjoyable experience that was to watch that game. There was hitting. There was skating. There was skill. There were goals. I am excited to watch Game 7 of that series tomorrow night, and I couldn't wait for Game 5 to be over of the Rangers series. Couldn't wait. It was just miserable. Just please. I felt like when Edith used to talk to Archie, and he would sit there and simulate swallowing an entire bottle of pills. That's how it felt.
I couldn't wait for it to be over. It was like I was watching the same game night after night.
Yeah.
Oh, we're up 1-0. Let's kill it for 50 minutes. Let's see if we can win 1-0. You know, it just...
I mean, that Blackhawks Wings game last night, what a pleasure. It was like walking into Disney World for the first time. There were colors. I mean, the ice was so beautiful, and the sound of the skates and the puck. Although I think the Red Wings got a raw deal on Frolik's penalty shot, but that's neither here nor there. Blackhawks came out and played a great
it's
third
like the
period.
Wizard of Oz.
They won the game.
Tortorella's black and white. He's all black and white. And when you see color for the first time, that's the Blackhawks Red Wings. I mean, I don't know how you could defend this guy.
We represent.
Go to these generic. We got to get bigger. Hell, we got to get bigger. The Pyatt's 6'5", Boyle 6'9", or whatever he is. Nash is tall. What do you mean we got to get bigger? That wasn't the reason we lost to the Bruins. We lost to the Bruins because they have A, their grinders could score. They're well coached. They're better coached. And Tory Krug became Bobby Orr. I mean, that's basically it. So, I don't know. It's going to be, you know, a lot of people passing the blame. I don't know how much can you pass the blame on people's goal productions and point productions in a system that's not geared towards scoring goals. And that is freestyling it on the power play. So, a lot of people want to get on Rick Nash. He had a goal and 4 assists. That's certainly not acceptable. Am I going to put the total brunt on him? No. But certainly 1 goal and 4 assists is not going to cut it. You know, I mean, he didn't dominate any games in the playoffs. He was a dominant player at times during the regular season. But am I going to dump the whole thing on one guy? You don't. In the playoffs, you don't win with just one guy. And they got contributions from other guys. And I see people getting on those guys. Oh, Zuccarello, let's get rid of him. He had a goal and 6 assists in 12 games. That's not bad. 7 points in 12 games. I think one of the positives that I drew out of it was the young guys. Stepan had 4 goals. And this was a guy who had trouble in the playoffs before. Hagelin was good. He had 3 goals. Broussard had 2 goals and 10 assists.
What a find.
You try to draw some... What?
What a find.
I mean, really. And I have to...
I mean, this... excuse me, I don't want to interrupt, but I mean, this guy went from Columbus's scrap heap to the Rangers legitimate, not out of necessity, legitimately their number two center. I mean, that's an amazing, you know, an amazing find. We're not talking about Erik Christensen forced into being the first line center for which he was, grossly what's the word I'm looking for? Incapable of. This kid's a legitimate second line center. And he said today, what did he say?
He was re-energized playing here. He'd kind of gotten.
Yeah, everything stale and stagnant. Well, it's Columbus. I can understand that. That sound you hear is Dubinsky crying, weeping. I used to be the second line center there, damn it. I used to be the second line center. They're going to find Dubinsky. Never mind. That's inappropriate.
Oh, man. I saw some positives, but I really think when it came down to it, our defense is what let us down. And mostly due to injury. I mean, the Stahl thing really hurt, and now we find out he has a tear in his eye, finally.
And he doesn't think his vision
really...
might... He doesn't think his vision's ever going to be 100%.
Yeah. And it's... I don't know why that couldn't be released during the season. I don't get it. But whatever reasons, everything came out of Pandora's box on breakup day. We finally forgot everything. Tortorella's a cross-dresser. Mike Sullivan is touching little children. I mean, you know, it all comes out on breakup day. So you find out all this stuff, and it's like, and the Rick Nash was not playing hurt from all accounts, although some people were reporting that he had a problem with his wrist. He seemed to be getting it later in the playoffs, but it's disappointing. You're getting paid the big bucks, Rick. I love you, but you got to produce here. You know, and he did make some. He made some nice passes that on the cry to goal, but he's here to score goals.
Right.
I mean, he deserves some criticism. No doubt about it. But am I going off the deep end and saying this guy's a bust? And blah, blah, blah. No. You know, I'm not going that far yet until I get a little bigger sample of him.
Right. I posted on Twitter on Sunday. You know how they do those Amber Alerts for kids when the kids get missing. You ever see those, the Amber Alerts?
Yes. When someone
I did a blue alert, missing forward Rick Nash, last seen wearing a blue 61 sweater. Somebody responded, "Oh, I guess you didn't see him get the assist on Kreider's goal." I said, "Yeah, I saw it. Is that what he's here for?" I said, "I would think we could expect a little more than 4 points in 12 playoff games and one goal." I said, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he's necessarily here to set up Chris Kreider.
Exactly.
And I'm not worried about. Chara was. He was being mugged by Chara for most of the series. I mean,
I expected it.
He
should have been more dominant in the Washington series as well. Listen, he had a bad playoff. I'm not going to put him on the cross yet. He's not ready to be put up.
Right. Because you know what? Prime example of that is Derek Stepan. Everybody was killing Derek Stepan last year after the playoffs.
Two consecutive playoffs where he wasn't good.
Right.
And he had a really good playoff. I mean, when we say really good playoff goals and point-wise, this is all in, like, Ranger lexicon, not in
right.
real life, you know.
Right.
You know, because
right.
basically, you know, Marian Hossa had like the same amount of points after like three games, you know.
Right.
You know, and you know, the Ranger bubble hockey.
Right.
I thought Girardi was horrible in this series. He was good in Washington. I thought he found his game in the Washington series. He was horrible in this series. Delzato was bad.
Yeah.
Any combinations of fours out there, it was duck and cover. Emminger, Hamrick, and him. And when Strowman went down, I didn't think there was a prayer. Because really, they're playing, it's like he threw an AHL team out there. I mean, between Newberry, Dorsett, Haley,
New
I mean, how are we going to win? Who?
New Drury.
Snoozeberry. Snodsberry.
Don't gotta go.
What?
Steve Schaefer in the chat. No, I'm sorry. It's not Steve Schaefer. New York fan in New Jersey. Dell's gotta go.
I mean, how long? I mean, I understand he's young. But how many? Wait. He's 22. Hey, come on, give him a break. He's 23. Give him a break. He's 24. Give him a break. He's 25. I mean,
he's
how
36.
Long is he gonna come? Give him a break. Give
right.
him a break. He's still learning.
Right. How soon do we have to stop giving him a break because he's young and start giving him a break because he's old? Give him a break. He's
yeah.
Roman Hammer. He's 40 years old.
Yeah. What do you expect of? Come on.
Way
didn't you
go.
Know that was Ken's Roman Hammer was in the freaking lineup?
Roman Hammer, have you ever seen a seriously, I mean, we've had some bad defensemen over the years. I mean, we've had the Ulanovs, we've had the Horshevas, we've had the Maliks. Have you ever seen a defenseman turn the puck over three times on one shift?
Oh, you're right.
We've had some bad defensemen on this team. Bad.
Oh, my God, that's bad. And you know,
here,
you
let me turn the puck over. Did you score yet? No. Okay, here it is again. Did you score yet? No. Okay, here it is again. All right, now you scored. I'll be on the bench. Thank you.
That came Thursday. Hey, Roman Hamlet's in the lineup. He throws it up into the crowd. Welcome to Fantasy Island. Smiles, everyone. Oh my God.
I mean, really, I mean, I could see maybe why people, the people who are actually backing towards saying, how could you win with these guys?
But he's the guy who makes the decisions who plays. I know with the injuries, it was getting thin there with either our boy Gilroy or Hamilek. But they just didn't have the juice. McDonough was the only one playing. And then, you know, he plays everybody to death. That doesn't help. You know, and then Richards, you get this guy, you know, you get this guy, he's making, you know, $7 million, $6.66 million. That might be the reason why he's not doing so well. You know, and he's not even dressing in game four and game five. I mean, supposedly the number one center, the guy you gave an assistant captainship. In the beginning
right.
of the season? And he's not even in the lineup? There's a lot of stuff going on. Then the Tortorella admitting, oh, McDonough, I should have had him on the power play earlier. All of a sudden, his brain started functioning. It's like, you fucking moron. We've been yelling for this for weeks. Get these idiots off the power play. Oh. And I don't know, Jim, I don't know about you guys, but if he doesn't get fired, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow to watch this team. It's going to be hard for me to root for them. I mean,
now,
let me ask you a question.
Let me ask you a question, and the chat room can answer this as well. If Tortorella stays, but Mike Sullivan goes, does that take a little of the sting off? Does that help the medicine go down? Is that a nice spoonful of sugar?
I have to say, no. Because that's like, you know, you got to chop the head off the snake. They got to get Tortorella. You know, you got to be disposed of. It's just, I don't know why you would say they need, what does he bring to the table? I will say the Rangers are mentally, and I know it's going to sound weird, I think they're mentally tough, the Rangers. But this guy, the way he handles the young guys, the way they play is just so frustrating to watch, so annoying. You know how hard it is to root for your team when they're annoying? I gotta sit there in a 1-0 game and a 2-1 game, you know, hope that we get a goal. Will we get 3 goals tonight? That's not fun. You gotta watch Henrik Lundqvist make tremendous saves in order to. Oh my God. And now the question is now, Jim, everybody's raising is that after this year, Henrik is going to become a UFA, and is he going to stay or go? And he said, I'll have to talk to my agent. And everybody took that as, oh, he's going. So, I don't know. If I were him, I'd get the hell out of here. I wouldn't stay with his garbage.
I can't look. If I'm him, I'm starting to look at my options too. 31 years old. You want to win Vezinas or you want to win the Stanley Cup? He's won his Vezina. I don't know. I can't blame him. I wouldn't blame him for going in tomorrow and demanding a trade.
So I don't know what the answers are, but I definitely need. I see no reason why we should keep John Tortorella around. I don't see what he's bringing to the table. Why is it so? Why do we have such a? Some Ranger fans have such a. They don't want to. I don't know. They just don't want to let go. Let go. I know it's unknown that if we brought a guy like Dave Tippett in here, how it would work out. But I would try anything to get back to watching normal hockey. I'm sick of seeing Henrik get barraged. I'm sick of the team having the puck in our zone for 3 minutes at a time, and he's got to play like God in order for us to get. I mean, it's time for change. Come on, the penalty killing even sucks now. I don't know. I just don't see any. If somebody out there can give me a reason why John Tortorella should stay and why he's a good coach, I'm ready to listen. But I don't think there are too many. We got plenty of phone calls. You want to get to them?
No, the hell with them. I'm just kidding.
I mean, you know. I don't know. I mean, where are you? I mean, where are you with Tortorella?
I can't see. I don't understand. I don't understand why. What's the reasoning behind keeping him? Is it because are they buying into the shortened season, no training camp bullshit? Which I don't get. I can't use that as an excuse. Not what Chicago seemed to manage. Pittsburgh seemed to manage. And granted, maybe the Rangers don't have the talent levels of those teams. But there were plenty of other teams that survived without a 3-week training camp, and there's Mein Kampf, as I like to call it. Plenty of teams figured out how to run a goddamn power play without 3 weeks of training camp. I can't see how a guy like Chris Kreider is going to flourish and become the player that everyone seems to think he could be. I don't think I'm just overrating this guy because we always tend to overrate homegrown talent. Everyone you talk to seems to think that this kid could be a really good NHL player. I don't see him becoming that under John Tortorella. And I know people are going to disagree with me, but I don't think he's doing Michael Delzato any favors either. How do you look at guys like the Hagelin and JT Miller? We're going to turn all these guys over to... I don't know.
Well, I will agree with you in Delzato to a degree, because I don't think offensively, I think Delzato has more to offer, but when you're scared to death of making a mistake, it really gets into your head. But still, Delzato's defensive play, and I was thinking about this the other night, because our defensemen are in their zone so much that they actually probably see more pressure than the average defenseman does on a shift. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we're never in the offensive zone for too long. I mean, maybe it's just me, trying to justify this, but I really think there are extended periods where the other team has the puck in our zone and there's something going to break. And with McDonough and Girardi, let's say if they're out as a pair, okay, they can withstand it. Strollman and Stoll and Strollman are healthy, they can withstand it. But once you start going into the guys that aren't as experienced or not as good defensively, boom, something bad is going to happen. And, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I just... Something has to change. In any other sport, I think he'd be gone. Why he's not gone yet, I don't know.
Well, the other reason, I mean, let's face it, the other reason why he's not gone, we've got a GM who has been in place now for, is it 13 or 14 years?
I think 13, but yeah.
Okay, 13 years with how many playoff series wins to show for it? Five? Six?
Five, I think.
One trip to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's it. In 14 years. And I'm sorry, but the 8 years of stagnation that this franchise suffered through, that we suffered through, does not make up for trading Scott Gomez for, is not made up for by trading Scott Gomez for Ryan McDonagh and Marion Gaborik for Derek Brassard and John Moore. It doesn't. Show me another coach in sport, or another GM in sports that has this kind of record for 14 years that keeps his job.
I don't know. I think Ranger fans just set the bar so low.
I don't even think it's the fans. I think that as long as the cash register is ringing at MSG, nobody cares. The Rangers are a cash cow.
But some of these fans
that keep feeding into that machine that show up for casino night and dog night and every other fucking
dog?
Thing the Rangers throw at it. You know what I'm talking about. Just whatever. Bark at the park. It's just a baseball thing they do. But you keep feeding into these machines, the casino nights and the meet Glenn Anderson night and the meet Stefan Leneau for the 400th time night and ride the Zamboni with Ron Duguay night and, go see Sam run an auction night. And, you keep feeding into it. What can I tell you?
I know me and Frosty were at the meet Lonnie Anderson night.
Oh, that was that, how was that?
It was pretty good. But see, this is my counter to this. My counter to this is, if the Rangers were
pet tips to pay night. Pet Sam Rosen's toupee night. Have you seen the new Star Trek?
I would pay for that. No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, there's a cameo appearance by Sam Rosen's toupee.
Really? With Tribble back?
I'm sorry.
See, here's my point. All right? You got, okay, the Rangers make money. We all know that, right? Okay? But they make, let's put it in baseball terms, they make like New York Mets money. But if you're a winner and you're a contender and you're always up there, you make Yankee money. Why don't they want to become the Yankees instead of the Mets? I love the Mets. They're my team, but they're El Stinko.
I think they make Yankee money.
So you say they're making Yankee money by being the Mets?
They just spent $14 quadrillion to fix up that shithole on 7th Avenue. I think they're making plenty of money.
Well, then,
45 years they're in that arena, they still can't get a decent ice surface. And yes, I know it's because it's built above the subway and it's on the 5th floor of the building. But Jesus, come on. It's New York City and they play on the worst ice in the league.
Now they want to move it.
Good.
Where are they going to move it? They just don't have to this is so ridiculous.
Pick the whole building up and move it. Put it on the back of a trailer, you know, like you see the wide load. Beep,
beep. It really doesn't even look like the same arena anymore. Yeah, Margaret and Coochie will testify that Madison Square Garden doesn't even look like Madison Square Garden anymore.
And it doesn't sound like Madison Square Garden anymore.
Nah, because you got all the corporate son of a bitches. They're all, they don't cheer. They don't go crazy.
And, you know, I said this about, and I understand it has a lot to do with, you know, the corporate culture that's in Bolt State. But, you know, Madison Square Garden, it used to seem to me that when you watched a game at Madison Square Garden, that if you walked into a room and all you heard was the hockey game on TV, you didn't look at the TV, you could tell by the buzz that it was at Madison Square Garden. And I always thought the same thing of Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium. It just had a sound all its own. Now the only sound at Madison Square Garden is Pot Fan Sucks and the guy that yells during the anthem. Oh, look at me. I'm yelling during the national anthem. Aren't I cool?
Look, I'm so special. Look at me. Look at me. No, there's definitely no buzz anymore. It's just it's all sanitized. It's not a hockey arena. It's not like in Winnipeg or even the Mausoleum, which is, I mean, it's a total shithole. It was a fire trap, that place.
The crack house.
But at least the crack house. Right. It's a crack house. You can buy crack. They sell crack up and down the aisles. But at least
get your crack, yeah.
At least you see somebody with a jersey along the glass, banging the glass. You go there.
Right.
Here, forget it.
Oh, not banging a glass. I don't want to hear that banging a glass shit. I hate that shit.
You don't like that?
That's what Caps fans do. They bang the glass. Look at me. No, at Madison Square Garden, they put money along the boards. I still don't understand what that's all about. You ever see that? People that sit down by the goal line, they put the dollar bills on the glass. Nobody's ever been able to explain to me what that's about.
Maybe it's $100 bills. They're trying to get change of 100.
Trying to buy a program.
These rich son of a bitches taking over our sport there. You should do like Kid Rock did. Kid Rock he's selling his concert tickets for $20 a piece. Now, that might be overvalued considering that I don't really like Kid Rock, but at least every ticket's $20.
Nice.
So that's what they should do for the Rangers. Every ticket, $20.
Oh, and I guess now we can officially say this, can't we?
Oh, we're not as good as Boston.
Yep. We really are physically not.
We're not. It's been proven.
And I still don't believe Jim Boston is that good. They just played worse than we did. I mean, we just played worse than they did.
They're not good. No, oh, I think they're good. I think they're pretty good.
They're getting trounced. They suck.
I don't know.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. They're not going to be getting those Boychuk and Zach. Well, just whatever.
I'm rooting for a Chicago-Boston Stanley Cup final. Those two have never met in the Stanley Cup final. I think it's time.
Oh, okay. So you're rooting against Pittsburgh?
Always. It's like rooting for, as far as I'm concerned, rooting for Pittsburgh is like rooting for Dallas. And
wow.
I don't mean the Stars. Oh, come on. I never root for the Penguins. Never. Ever.
Ever.
I have a funny exchange I had with a Penguins fan today that if we have time before the end of the show, I'll get to. Are you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to – we'll get Stan up first. Stan, what's going on?
Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you, Stan?
Swell.
which we all
know. I know you were waiting
loud
for that. I'm all right.
All right, good.
Are you at peace?
Yes. Question.
Okay. Sure.
No, your question. I don't have a question.
No, my question was, are you at peace?
Oh, yeah. Look, it's not like it came as a shock, you know. I mean, they were down 3-1.
I got a question for you, Stan. What do you make of Tortorella saying, I know I'm supposed to feel it was a disappointing season, but I don't buy it, and I won't. I don't think we took a step back. I think it was a sideways step. What do you make of that comment? I think it's ludicrous.
I guess they took a step back because they got eliminated earlier than last year. I mean, to me, the whole season was it was sort of like a one step forward, one step back. I think we talked about this earlier. The Nash trade they made in the summer, and then they made the Gabbert trade, which were basically mirror images of each other with the same team. So they just traded the same players back and forth. So they're back where they started.
They need another goal scorer.
They need
exactly what.
Yes, exactly. That plus the the Richards meltdown is, you know, evaporating act. By the way, I know we also spoke about this for a while, about what to do with Richards. From what I was reading, I guess Brooks in the Post was talking about it, with the CBA, which I try not to follow because it's tedious as hell, but they'll have no choice but to buy him out. They cannot possibly bring him back because they said, like, if he were injured next year, then they couldn't buy him out, then they'd be stuck for the last 6 years of his contract, which would be an absolute killer. So they have to buy him out. They have no choice.
Wasn't that the same concern they had with Drury, though, with his knee? Originally, if they thought he was injured, they couldn't buy him out. I thought it was a similar situation, but in the end, they were able to buy him out. But, they can't risk him getting injured.
Yeah, and like the cap.
And they're
going to
need his money, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they have it's like 100% no chance of them having to bring him back. He has to be bought out. So that they'll have the money. I mean, and I was looking at the free agent situation. There's no big free agents out there. So just the mainly second line players, fourth defenseman, that kind of thing. There's no great players to bring in here.
Hmm.
I haven't even looked at the free agent list yet.
I haven't looked at it that far, but isn't David Clarkson a free agent?
Yeah.
I'd like him.
I thought you didn't like devil
Strike
players.
Well, listen.
Right. These aren't stars.
He's a power play guy. We need a power play defenseman.
Well, look, what I see, they need depth on defense. Obviously, they ran out of defensemen. And they've got to somehow... Maybe they got a couple guys. Maybe these two Swedish kids will come in and they'll help. They need some more scoring on the third line. I mean, we've been talking about this a long time. They're two bottom, the third and fourth lines just don't produce enough offense. They've got to get it from the, more from those lines.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're running a line of your third line out there of Boyle, Pyatt, and Dorsett, who, you know, between the three of them put together, I think probably had, even including the playoffs, they probably totaled eight goals. You can't win like that.
No, I mean, they actually didn't play that bad in the playoffs, but again, they shouldn't be.
No,
your,
but for some reason, he found himself benched for the last two games.
Yeah, they need more down there, so we'll have to see what's going to happen. And certainly not getting it from the draft. That's for sure.
No.
Yeah. Well, are they even sending a representative to the draft?
Yes.
Well,
you.
They just have to go across the bridge, so it's or through the tunnel rather. So.
Oh, Eddie, yeah, they're sending you. You're going to be handling it. You're going to be the Joey Pacino, Joey Pacino this year.
Oh, great. I can't wait. Can't wait to pick, I don't know, where should I go? I should maybe go for a big, slow defenseman who's not going to make the NHL. Oops, we have Dylan McIlrath already.
Oh, you've been talking to Russ Cohen.
No, I'm not.
By the way, talking about the draft, you know, I was talking to my son about this last week. You know, Lou Lamoriello is supposed to be like the smartest guy in the league. You know that the Devils have to forfeit a number one pick for the Kovalchuk situation?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they had 4 years to do it, and next year is the last year. Now, for some reason, he didn't forfeit the pick last year when they had the 29th pick. Why? I don't know why they didn't.
Why?
Because this year, of course, they picked ninth, and next year they're going to be worse than they were this year. So he's going to end up losing like a top five pick next year.
Wow.
I mean, I have no idea why he didn't do forfeit last year's pick. That was just crazy.
I don't know. I mean, I look at his drafts recently. They have not been, like, all that good. I mean, I can't think of the last Devil guy that, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years that's come up. I guess
Henrique worked out pretty well.
Henrique's okay. He's not great. You know, I don't know. Well, they'll have to be drafted a goalie soon because Marty's going to be headed out the door pretty soon. Can't wait to get rid of that idiot. But I don't know. When do you see the right? I don't know. I don't know what to think. I can't. It's going to be hard to root for them, Stan, with Tortorella as the coach. I can't stand the guy.
Well, if they win, you'll root for him.
If they win.
No. I mean, I'm really rooting for the coach. It's the players.
Yeah, I don't want to watch the game, Stan. I don't want to watch them.
Hey, it's like Herb Brooks said, the name on the front means a hell of a lot more than the name on the back.
I'll root for them.
Maybe Kurt Russell
said that. I'll tell you what. Did Herb Brooks really say that?
Kurt Russell said it when he played Herb Brooks. I know that.
Oh, wow.
Oddly enough, that movie was on right before the Ranger game on Saturday. I thought, oh, this is fitting.
Expecting a miracle on ice?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. And then everybody's going crazy over Derek Dorsett, how well he played.
Who said that?
People say. Yeah.
Who?
He's like Prust. Tortorella.
Who said that? Tortorella.
See what Tortorella said about him?
Yeah,
I wish I could get everybody up the energy level that Derek Dorsett has. The energy level? What, taking bad penalties? Is that even the energy level?
Yeah, he seems to take penalties a lot.
I can't wait to have him back next year.
Put him on the first line.
Right there, I'm already annoyed with Tortorella. The 2013-14 season hasn't even started yet, and I'm annoyed with him. He's terrible, that guy. He's a meathead, Dorsett. Ay, 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 ay. So,
all right, Stan. We're going to get some other calls. Stan. You want to stay on hold?
Yeah, please.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good night.
Bye. All right, let's Catroni, send me a text and let me know if you're on hold to listen or if you want to go on the air. And we'll talk to Costa.
Tina says Dorsett has, but he has jams.
Eh, Jam's overrated.
Jam,
you know what happens
to bounce in the playoffs.
Teams that have Jam get spread in five games and sent home. You got to have scoring and Jam. Throw with scoring.
Yeah.
Bruins got plenty of Jam, but they could score. Oh, I can't wait to watch that Blackhawks Wings game tomorrow night.
You're so excited. Harken
back
watch
to, harken back to days of yore. What's going on, Costa?
Hey, what's up? Yeah,
go ahead, say it.
What?
Go ahead, say it. Say it.
What?
I know what? I know what you're going to say.
What?
Here, wait.
You want to invest your hard-earned money in this team? You want to invest your hard-earned money in this team? You want to invest your hard-earned money in this team?
You already, you kind of said it. You kind of said it already, Jim. you said as long as the cash register keeps ringing, you know, nothing's going to change.
Coaster, motherfucker.
You know, I don't know what to say to that.
Coast
what happens if we're not spending the... I mean, how are we... Okay, say we're not spending our money. What am I supposed to do?
Watch it on TV.
How do I protest?
Watch it on TV. That's it. You just watch it on TV.
But every time I go, I'm treated to a great game where it's frivolity. Every time I go...
Dan Girardi scores power play goals when he goes to games.
Well, you're the good luck charm, I guess, Eddie.
I guess.
So obviously you need to sell your house and buy season tickets.
God, no way.
Your wife is going to love living in a studio apartment in Yonkers. She'll love it.
We got season tickets, honey.
Yeah, but we're living in Bayonne.
No, I would never
you're
get
Canarsie.
I mean, it's just—it's absurd how much they're charging for people like Coochie Wally and Margaret Hurley and other people who have season tickets. I don't know how you do it, how you guys do it.
They got disposable income. That's how they do it.
This just in. Eddie Geich buys season tickets.
Well, all I have to say, if I buy season tickets, no, I'm not buying season tickets. What was I going to say? I had someone. Well, I'm going to do what Margaret Hurley says, that we should all call and say, I'm not renewing my season tickets if this Dumkoff is still the coach. That's I'm calling my representative.
I want to hear you use the word Dumkoff.
Dumkoff.
As long as this Dumkoff is coaching this forgotten team, I'm not buying any tickets.
The Ranger reps are morons. That's a shocker, Coochie. One of the people in this organization are morons. I find that hard to believe. I mean, this is a well-oiled machine, Madison Square Garden. We got Peter O'Toole as our GM. He doesn't know who he is this week. We got Fonzie, the coach, yelling at
everybody. You understand why they're still there, right?
What'd you say?
I say to Fonzie's work is never done.
You understand why they're still there, right? Like I typed in, Dolan likes GM coaches, likes trophy GMs and trophy coaches. That's why.
I like trophies.
But doesn't Dolan hasn't he fired Nick coaches and GMs in the past?
Because
how come
he gives a shit about the Nick? He don't give a shit about the Rangers. He don't care. He's an absentee landlord when it comes to the Rangers.
Well, I've said that before, and I agree with you.
Damn, damn, damn!
Coochie Wally saying he pays $6,000 for Section 221.
Good. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless. What do you think of that?
Like I said, God bless. If I have $6,000, I ain't spent on Rangers tickets, I'll tell you that.
What would you pay $6K for, Costa?
Well, for $6,000? I'd get like a home entertainment center and shit. That's what I would do.
All right.
I'm not crazy.
All right, Costa, we'll let you go.
All right.
All right, man. I'll talk.
Take care.
Again.
Talk to you later.
Shut up, your mouth.
$6,000?
Buy a home entertainment.
Who is he? Jay-Z? $6,000 home entertainment center?
Yeah. That's the David Center.
All right, let's see. Who's next? We talked to Stan. I think this is Margaret. Marguerite.
I'm not crazy. That's the ancient Irish art of keening. It's when the banshee cries, you know that death is coming. And so, towards the end of the season, and so it was, I was in Madison Square Garden, and I happened to turn around to my husband, Peter Harley, and I said, I think this team is dead. I said, I don't think they have a chance in hell in the playoffs. What do you think, Peter? And he said, you know, Mrs., I think you're right. I think it's over for them. I think they should just lose now so they get rid of that god-awful coach they have. He'll be fired for sure if they don't make the playoffs. And so it was that it came to pass that the Rangers did make the playoffs. And lo and behold, they got bumped again in the second round of the playoffs, going down to the Boston Bruins. And Tortorella is still going to be the coach. I think it's a goddamn shame, so I do.
Yes, I do appreciate the keening. And yes, you were right on.
Beautifully
had they
done.
Not made the play, beautifully done, by the way. I would
Why,
have to
thank
say,
you so much. My name isn't Margaret Mary for nothing.
I'm still holding hope that he's going to. What are you laughing at?
I'm thinking of the Saturday Night Live skit with Molly Shannon, where she did the superstar thing, the one with Penny Marshall and Rosie O'Donnell, where she's yelling at her.
Mary Catherine Gallagher. Yeah, Mary Catherine.
And none of them could stop laughing cause while they were trying to get it out. That's all I could think of. Sorry.
wait a minute now, Edward. One thing I'd like to straighten out with you is, I am not currently a Rangers season ticket holder, nor have I been for the last 3 years. What happened was... But what?
You're there every game. Every time I go there, I see you.
No, I. What happened was they changed my hours on my job, and I don't get out of work. I live in Brentwood. I work in Smithtown. I don't get out of work till 5:30. I can't get into games on time. So I said, this is ridiculous. The company's never going to change the hours back. So I gave up my season tickets because I had trouble laying off the tickets, you know, that I couldn't use. So then what happened was the kid that sat behind us, we basically split a season with him, like for 2 years running. And then this past lockout, the seats were $64. So I went to 6 games. Now, $64 times 2 people, that's $128 to go to a game. That's a lot of coin. So I just said to my husband, you know, we can't do this. It's ridiculous. And what I said on Blue Shirt Underground on Facebook was, if you just call your season ticket rep and you say, look, you know, Tortorella sucks. I'm pissed off. I'm honestly considering not renewing. write it down that I'm pissed off about Tortorella and I want to see him fired. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying people should, you know, threaten and stuff like that, but let it be known that you're not pleased. I mean, if you sit back in silence and don't say anything, then who's going to know? Then they'll think everything's honky and dory. At least this way, you'll have gone on record as saying why you're displeased, you know? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, so to speak. So I guess that's the you know, it's the way to go. And I'm all for protests. I don't think that would. I don't know. Do you guys think there's any chance of him getting fired, or if he was going to be fired, he would be fired already?
I think he would have been fired already.
He would have been fired already.
Oh God, you guys are killing me.
I know it's. Sorry. I know it's deadly. I don't know. You know, here's the thing. I've been a diehard Ranger fan most of my life, and I can honestly tell you for the first time in I can't tell you how many years, I was so apathetic at the end of the season. And it's not just because they went down three games and they lost you know, 4-1. That's not the reason. I was apathetic from the last game of the season, actually longer than that. Seeing those games where they were losing to mutts like Florida, that kind of shit really pisses me off. And I'm like, you know, guys, you're fighting for points, you're fighting for a playoff spot, and then you mail it in against the worst team in the league, and they do it twice. And I'm just like, God, why should I care about you? Why should I care about what you're doing? I don't know what the dynamic is there. I don't know if the players are turning. Tuning Tortorella out, or Tortorella is ineffective as a coach. Whatever was going on there. One thing, and I'll have to say this because I'm an acolyte of the hockey rodent, one thing that he was really pissed off about was a play where Brad Richards stood by and watched the Hobbit try to clear some big goon out of the crease in front of Henrik Lundqvist, and Richards just stood there and did nothing. No amount of fucking training camp is going to make you change your mindset if you won't even use your body to clear somebody out in front of the net. That's wrong. Lose a step, yeah, no training camp, oh, good excuse. But come on, tell me you can't clear somebody out in front of the net and you let a 5'7" dwarf do your job for you? Give me a fuck. You know, I'm
okay.
That dwarf has balls. No, that Hold dwarf on. Has a lot of balls. Let me tell you. See him trying to hit Chara?
Yeah.
I like Zuccarello. I like him.
Yeah, and everybody says, balls. Oh, he's a third-line player. Fuck. Sorry. God damn it. We have first-line players who aren't even playing third-line.
Fuck. Sorry. God damn it.
Fuck, sorry, shit. God damn it. Sorry.
Fuck, sorry,
asshole.
Cocksucker. Fuck, sorry.
Yeah, but all right, but getting back to brass tacks here.
And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
Thank you, Frank.
The bottom line is you can bring in as many third and fourth line bodies as you want, but if they're not willing to go and win the battles against the board, then you got nothing. And the difference between the third and fourth line guys they had this year and the third and fourth line guys last year was that they did win the battles against the board. If you're going to jump and chase and you got to win a battle against the board, you better get over there and do it. And this year, nobody was showing up to do that. Nobody. And the people who used to do that last year were people like Fedotenko and Frost. And I know you guys hate me to say this, but Dubinsky.
Oh.
And who could win faceoffs? Dubinsky. Honest
who?
To God, that was the. If that's your style of game, if you're going to double chase, if you're going to go for battles against the boys, you've got to execute. Nobody executed.
Dubinsky.
And you're right to some. You're certainly right at some point. I'll tell you what, guys I thought played better in the play, I know Jim's not going to like this. I thought Boyle played pretty good,
Trubisky,
except he couldn't win a faceoff.
Yeah, I'll give him that. I mean, he scored a couple of goals. I was sitting in front of the TV going, Christ, when did it have to be him scoring the goals? But you know what? A goal is a goal, and he did it.
And also, I thought Pisey played pretty good. Taylor Pyatt. I don't know. He played better in the playoffs. But again, he didn't have a long way. You know, he didn't have much to improve on. I mean, he was really a non-factor.
It's a short trip.
Just the fact that he looked. Yeah, it's a short trip for him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. But,
what should throw Carl Hagelin under the bus? Why did he do that? I don't understand.
Because it's everybody's fault except Tortsy's.
What I didn't understand about that was he sits there at a press conference and says, oh, I'd love to put him on the power play, but he stinks. And then the very next game, he's out there on the first power play. So,
this is coming from a man who kept using Brad Richards on the point.
Oh, that was horrible.
Well, but why? I mean, how can you turn around and say somebody stinks, and yet your golden boy, who loves the step, is playing without a set? You put him out.
Goodbye.
Sorry,
Mom.
Take it a step further. If Tortorella isn't leaving, am I going to watch?
This is what I said at the beginning of the show.
I agree. There's other things I could do with my life, with my time, with my money. You know, and I feel bad for the guy that you know, I share the tickets with. But you know what? I'm not going to pay good money to go and watch him pull the same shit next year that he did this year. Because honestly, you know, Larry Brooks talk about, you know, pounding a square peg into a round hole. Well, John Tortorella has a round hole in his head. And I don't know who has the mallet, but they're trying to pound a square peg into the round hole in his head because it's just not working. And the power play hasn't worked. That was the whole beat on Rennie. They fired Rennie because they couldn't get the power play going. Why is this guy getting a pass? I don't understand. I don't understand why he hasn't been fired. And then take it a step further. You're talking about why Sather is still there after 14 years, and I absolutely agree. I think it's because, and I always make this analogy, Jim Dolan is the same thing to MSG and the Rangers as Governor LePetomane was in Blazing Saddles. He's a complete idiot. And Glenn Sather is Hedley Lamarr. I'm sorry.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
See, I got a. We got it all, Margaret. We got you. Name the movie. We'll pull a clip. Maybe not the most appropriate clip for what you were talking about, but we could still make
somebody,
a reference.
Somebody there is pulling something out. I don't know. I don't know how this goes on. I really don't.
All right, Margaret. Well. We got to get some other calls in, but thank you for calling. A great call, as always. Love the Irish accent.
Bye, boys, and we'll see you next year.
Thank God we still have the Mets,
okay.
Margaret.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, boy. Is Mandar ready yet, or?
I don't know.
Goodbye. Tortsy makes me cry. I know you want a cup, but this power play fucking sucks. Tortsy.
You got cut off there.
You suck, man.
See,
you
I have to say, before we bring Mandar on, I have to say, I spent the first period of the Ranger Bruin game in game 4 making fun of the Rangers. It was the most cathartic thing I've ever done in my life. That I could articulate all the stuff me and you have been saying live in front of an audience. I know it's a complete waste of money to do that, but the Rangers actually wound up winning the game.
Right.
But if me and you would have been there, say if we would have been behind Tortorella we would have gotten our money's worth. Just from all the, yeah, put Boyle out there. That'll do it. Get him some power play time. That's right. Did you see Boyle's comment? On a, how do you describe your year? I sucked. Did you see
Hold
that?
On.
All I heard was.
Hold on.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hold on. Hold on. Oh, my God.
Did you see him say that?
Yeah, I sucked. No, really? Really?
Well, come on.
Really?
You're not going to give him any cred for this just in. I sucked.
Oh, my effing God.
Oh, my God.
Evening, gentlemen.
Is he ready? Is he ready?
Nice.
That one's really called him Labrador Boyle.
Love it.
I sucked. You're going to take me for a walk? Okay. My favorite. Oh, boy. I'm just going to put him on. Mangar, are you ready to talk to us?
I'm here, gentlemen.
Good evening. How are you? We haven't spoken to you in a long time.
The last time we spoke, I think the Rangers scored a power play goal.
That'd be months.
Wow. Has it been that long?
What's up, gentlemen? Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm laughing at Jim's impersonation of you doing that. So what's your diagnosis, Murdy, here? What happened? What went wrong? You know, was there ever a chance? Was it all a pipe dream? What was it?
It was all a pipe dream. But then again, I'm a true believer that last year was all a pipe dream, too. You don't go into the third round of the playoffs six games in and be a .500 playoff team. I think last year really pulled the wool over a lot of people's eyes, thinking that they were much better than they were. I keep hearing people thinking, we're missing what we had last year. What did we have last year? We had a team that went 10-10 in the playoffs, took two game sevens being the number one seed, had to be bailed out by Henrik Lundqvist. When was the last time, here's a good trivia question, when was the last time the Rangers won a playoff series that didn't go seven games?
Against Atlanta.
No, I'm going to say the Capitals.
Which Capitals series are you talking about? They only beat the Capitals last year in seven and this year in seven.
No, 1994.
Jim, I believe you're right. I think it was definitely the Atlanta series. That's how long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they sweep Atlanta?
Yeah, they did.
That was 07?
Oh, 2009 versus the Devils. That's right. The guys were saying it in the chat room. But they're one of the very few teams to win three playoff series in the last 2 years. That's going to be what Sather points to why Tortorella will stay. Whether it's right or wrong, the results are he's won three playoff series. Not that many teams can say that. Pittsburgh can't say it. And how many other teams can say they've won three playoff series in the last 2 years other than the Kings and the Devils last year in 1 year? It's not a lot of teams. So that for that reason only, he's going to keep Torts. Torts didn't earn a firing by getting into the second round of the playoffs, according to Sather. Now, according to every fan that watches the Rangers play like pulling teeth, he should be let go because there's absolutely zero entertainment value in it. But the actual results are what they're going to go by.
Yeah, but it's not successful. Is that the bar?
No, the bar is winning the playoff series. So he was brought in to win playoff series. He's won three in the last 2 years. Like I said, that's more than the vast majority of coaches in the NHL have done. Anybody who's pining away for guys that haven't won anything over the last few years are thinking they're going to somehow magically transform this franchise into a winning franchise more so than what Torts has done. I'm not saying he's the right coach for this. You know, guys know how I feel about him. How many times did I say over the years he has no idea? Torts, how do you fix this? I don't know. Well, that's very comforting. But
thank you. I appreciate that.
How many times did I say that over the last few years? The guy has no idea how to correct me.
You were saying that 3 years ago. Easily.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
He has no idea. But there, you know, I really think last year kind of blew everybody's mind away. Nobody expected it, and they weren't that good. To be honest with you, they just weren't. Henrik played out of his mind great, and they won a lot of close hockey games. But when it came to the playoffs, hey, they were lucky to get by Ottawa in the first round after being down 3-2. Same thing against Washington. You know, they're not a team that's going to blow anybody up by their style, so they're going to just grind it all out, and you're never going to find that fun, unfortunately. So what do you want another coach to come in here and do, open it up and get better results somehow?
Well, I'd like the coach to come in and get the power play working.
Okay. They don't feel like they even need to practice the power play, according to Torts. You see him there, and his ridiculous putting guys on the point that are playmakers, where playmakers don't go on the playmakers go down low. But my whole problem with their power play has always been the same thing. They play their power play exactly like they play their even strength. They go down into the corners. There's three guys below the goal line, nobody in front when they get the puck, and then they feed it back out to the point, who put it right back down on the corner below the net. They don't have a plan. They don't do anything different. They're robotic in that way. They just are so in tune to play the exact same way on the power play that they play during their regular breakouts. Watch them come out on a power play. How many times do you see the stupid stretch pass that gets tipped into the end of the zone, but everybody's standing still at the blue line, so it's cleared? Nothing changes.
Well, last night the Blackhawks completed one of those long stretch passes. I almost fell out of my chair.
Right,
I can't wait to watch game 7.
Constantly do that and throw it down for icings or throw it off the boards that are impossible to catch. So you've got a pseudo power play defenseman who brings absolutely zero to the table. He who will remain nameless.
Oh, Michael Dell. How about the way Torts deals with kids? Couldn't it Chris Kreider being put on the fourth line when he did play?
So you're right there. So, but then what about the other times where he has made Derek step on a number one or two center? Guy came up under Torts. Same thing with Callahan. I mean, where we're making specific examples of guys that haven't worked out yet, you can't forget about the guys that have flourished under him. Hagelin, for as much as he put him down, he still put him up on the first. Same thing with Callahan.
But see, here's the difference. The reason Derek Stepan and Callahan flourish under him is because they play defense. He has no idea what to do with an offensive player. He has no idea. He can't relate. And they suffer. Their play suffers. Because you have to be defensively responsible.
You're right there with the creativity really sucking. But it makes you wonder, look at when he won the Cup and he had Richards and Le Cavalier and St. Louis and all these offensively creative guys, and I wonder how they were able to do it. But
I don't think he was an asshole back then. He's now developed.
He went to Larry Brooks.
But I mean, he certainly is just Mike. I've seen enough. I've seen enough of this guy.
Ixnay on Eichmann.
I have seen enough of this guy, and I know what you're saying. I agree with you. In their eyes, this is success, but not getting
you're not getting the best out of your best players. I think is the key here, right?
Right.
Really not.
And I think going 7 games with these teams is not really – it's not like they won the series 4-0, they swept, and then they got knocked out. Each one was grinding and grueling, and maybe that's the bottom line, maybe that they won the series. That's all that matters in their heads. But really, they could have gone either way, and I agree with you. They did overachieve last year. There's no doubt about it. But I just think that any logical person would say, listen, at least a logical GM would say, listen, I love the fact you got in the playoffs, You've been in three playoff series in the last 2 years. Great. You're up there with, you know, with the LA Kings and whatever. But you know what? It's not working. We had our goaltender is playing, has to play out of this world in order to win those series. If he doesn't, we're done. And that's
right.
The difference between
let's turn this around a second, too. Let's look at these offensively creative guys. We had Marian Gaborik score two of his three highest season goal totals as a member of the Rangers under Torts.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You had Rick Nash score 21 this year, almost a 40-goal pace. That's his career average. So a lot of people we're complaining because the team doesn't score a lot, but our best players have actually – the stats don't lie on this one, unfortunately.
I counter with, yeah, it's only one guy. Only one guy is allowed to play like that. He'll let the offensive thoroughbred that Sather brings in play the way he's supposed to play. But any guy that comes up through the system – or is not acquired. Look at Zuccarello, for instance. Tortorella wanted no part of this guy. Basically, Sather had send out the slack signal to Russia to get him over here to play because they were so desperate for offense. Tortorella doesn't want offensive players, and I really feel that unless they bring in a big-ticket guy, that's the only way an offensive player will ever get a chance to develop. And, yeah, he left them alone. He's left scorers alone until we got two, and then Gaborik was under the microscope.
Right, and then he fed guys together that weren't going to work. I mean, that ridiculous, you know, the Richards, Nash, and Gaborik line that maybe worked for a game, but yet, you know, the nine other games he had them together, it didn't work, and it takes him so long to realize that you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and then you have, you know, the Taylor Pius on the second line. It's a difficult thing. It's not as cut and dry. We're looking at it from obviously number one being so frustrated that they lose to a team that I, to be honest with you, can't imagine us losing to. We own Boston in the regular season, but we see a style of play that we can't stand, and we see it shouldn't be this hard. You know, the win after you don't ever celebrate a win with the Rangers. You survive a win with the Rangers, right?
Exactly.
That's funny.
That's right.
You never feel, you know, other than 5-0 against the Caps in the playoffs, I don't remember a playoff win going back. I don't even remember the last time other than maybe in that Atlanta series or the Devil series where they won, you know, 4-1 that they ever really give you the opportunity to enjoy it as much as you want to. But you
right.
guys, you know, what's going to happen? You know, it's May 28th right now. All of a sudden, end of August comes, training camp's around the corner, you start feeling that excitement coming up again, and no matter how down you are now, right about then you're going to see any new guy that they might have signed, or you're looking forward to a full season. Don't forget this was also no training camp, and I know every other team did it, but certain teams need that long training camp, that you know, long season to gel and whatever. You know, to make it happen. I think a shorter season actually hurt Lundqvist in the end because he had to play more games, more of a percentage of games, because every game was that much more important. You know, and so maybe that hurt a little bit. Also, not having the Hughes switch cheese backup goaltender, where you don't have a faith in him at all, also hurts as well.
So what Mandar is trying to say, Eddie, is hope springs eternal.
I don't. Put a lot. To be honest with you, I don't put a lot of stock in this season. Again, because of you know, an abbreviated schedule, no preparation really for the season. You know, you have a cap that's going down next year, so moves were made. You know, that's really the reason the Gaborik trade was made, because of all the salaries and whatnot. The league's going to look a lot different next year too, with the salary cap going down $6 million. It's a different year this year, so. But I agree with a lot of people in the room that are saying, you know what, if he gets off to that 4-10 start next year, his ass has got to be out. But I don't know what you're going to measure success on for Torts. Is it going to be from winning playoff series, or is it going to be playing, you know, free will, you know, at least, you know, up and down kind of hockey? That's a tough call.
I just wanted to jump in because I looked it up because you guys were talking about the Lightning team that won a cup. That team had six 20-goal scorers. And just to give you an idea, last year's Ranger team had three.
Right. And who was their high? Was Boyle their highest-scoring defenseman that year?
Let me see. Yes. And then he had, but then they also had Kubina right behind him.
Right. So they that's another big problem the Rangers don't have, is they don't have any consistent offense coming from the back line, and you need that. You just need that. It's just so important for them. And
they had Kubina scored 17 goals by himself. And then you had Boyle with 9 goals. They had 4 defensemen with double digits in assists. So yeah, they had a lot of defensemen that could put up
points.
You need that,
and every successful team's going to have good puck moving defensemen along with the toughness back there on defense. The Rangers defensemen, while they don't bone crush hit you, they are a tough as nails defense. Nobody can deny that. Those guys are tough in ways that don't get measured on hits and crushing guys into the boards. But these guys are a tough group of defensemen. But they don't add enough puck moving and creativity. It's always 3-on-5 in the offensive zone, and maybe that's a function of their fear of making a mistake. But that's the issue.
Okay, there you got it. The diagnosis, murder from men.
And, oh, great, you know, band. Something else, I guess that we, I think at this point we'd all assumed it, but today was the first time I actually saw in print that Michael Sauer will not resume his NHL career. I mean, like I said, we'd pretty much all assumed it at this point, but today was actually the first time I ever saw it written, because he just seemed to become persona. Like, it was like he didn't exist for 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's what I read about him. Yeah, it is. And now, who hit him? Was it Phaneuf? Who hit him? What was that? I forget what the incident was. Does anybody remember in the chat room?
I think it was Phaneuf, or as Emil Francis called him, Phaneuf.
I know one of our. They say Gina said it was that. Gina saying scumbag Phaneuf. Wow, I got to tell you, the language, the language. Everybody's still upset after the Rangers loss. I don't know. I know nothing's going to change in Tortorellaville, but here we go, you know. Like you said, I'll be out there rooting, but something's got to happen.
Boring.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Maud. Because it's going to be boring, boring, boring,
boring, boring, boring, boring.
But, you know, it's all part of the process, isn't it, Jim?
That's it. Next question. Just a sideways step. That's all.
Sideways step?
Just a sideways step. And the Hindenburg just had a little fire.
Mandar, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mandar. Good to hear from you.
Well, Jim, I guess we'll be back sometime, maybe next week, maybe. Maybe we'll try to get some scouts on here, get some, maybe get Leslie Treff on, or Jess Rubenstein, Stein.
For what? To talk about who the Rangers are going to take in the sixth round?
No, let's talk about the progress and the prospects.
They didn't make any.
We got prospects. We got Jasper Fast. Got Jana Rivik.
Who else? Jana Rivik. Forgot about him.
McElrath. Kyle Jean.
What about Kelsey Tessier? Is that his name?
Kelsey Tessier. He's gone. Yeah, Oscar Lindberg. You got a lot of the Lindbergh baby. You got a lot of guys to talk about, man. This is, the season never ends. You want it? You want to ship it?
Who gives a fuck?
Christian Thomas.
I'm ready for baseball.
Get the hell out of here!
No way. I'm kidding. Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
We love you, and we'll be back.
We'll be back soon. Next week, probably. Good night, everybody.
You said it at the same time.
Because the Mets are really socking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody coming.
Able to add people to a group.